The following message was given at Trinity Bible Church in Powell, Wyoming.
In prayer.
Lord, Father in heaven, we give you thanks and we give you praise. We're so thankful that you come to dwell with us, that you pour your spirit out on us, and that here in the midst of your temple, the church, is the place where we dwell on your steadfast love. We are so grateful, O Lord, that you have loved us, that you have called us to yourself, that you have adopted us, that you have forgiven us, that you have cleansed us and washed us from all our sins, that we bear those sins no more, that the old self that was guilty and dead in Adam has been buried with Christ, and the new self, which is alive in Christ, has been raised with his resurrected life. We are thankful, Lord. We're thankful that even now we are seated with our Lord on his throne, seated in the heavenlies. And even though we are here on earth, we know that because of our union with our Lord, that we are where he is, and we will be there someday when we are glorified with the whole church. We thank you for such hope. We confess that we often do not think of this, that we are distracted so easily by the things of this world. So may you give us, O Lord, a mindset that focuses on the things above. May you give us a heart that adores you and considers your glory above all else. May you give us this hope and remind us and assure us that it is real and true and help our unbelief. May we live in light of it. Bless our time this evening as we start to consider the Lord's Prayer. And we ask this in Christ's precious name. Amen. Well, we're in questions 136 or 138 of our catechism, the section on the Lord's Prayer. You remember, our catechism is split up into three main sections. It began with our sin and misery, which we know out of the law of God. The law is like the mirror that is held up to us and shows us not just some warts on our face, but that we are wholly sinful and dead, and we need life in Christ. And so the second section then focuses on redemption in Christ, that our Lord Jesus was sent by the Father, that he was crucified, things that we just got done confessing in the creed, and that he was raised, and we are alive in him, all our sins are forgiven, and what a glorious thing that is. And now we consider the third section, which is of our thankfulness. How are we to respond for such a great salvation? Well, we are to live a life of gratitude. What does that look like? It looks like keeping his commandments, and we looked at the Ten Commandments, and then calling on the Lord in prayer is our chief way of showing thanks to him, right? By praising him with the fruit of lips. And remember the definition of prayer that we're using? This comes from Rich Barcelos, and it's the breathing out of the soul towards God and the creature's way of acknowledging utter dependence upon his Creator. So it's not just speaking to God, but it's this communion of the soul, a deep communion of the soul, calling on the name of the Lord. And it's more just asking for things. It's, again, communing with him. It's giving him thanks. It's depending upon him. It's seeking grace from him. And this is why prayer is necessary, as we saw in question 134. Last week, we considered what makes prayer pleasing to God, in question 135. And we saw that the only reason we can come to the Father is in the name of Christ, his merits, his righteousness, his work for us alone. And building on this foundation, since we have bold and confident access before his throne, we want to pray things that are pleasing to him in accordance with his will, seeking his grace, coming to him with reverence and awe and out of gratitude and love for what he has done. So we saw in question 135, prayer that pleases God is, among other things, things that he has commanded, praying in accordance to the things that he has commanded. And that brings us to our first question this afternoon, question 136, and that is, what are those things which God commands us to ask of Him? And the answer is all things necessary, both for soul and body, which our Lord Jesus Christ is comprised in the prayer He taught us. So, what God has commanded us to pray in general is found in the Lord's Prayer. Since we are composed of both body and soul, Jesus has us pray for things that are both for our body, physical needs, give us this day our daily bread, and our spiritual needs, forgive us our trespasses, and lead us not into temptation. And question 137, then ask, what prayer is that? And it's the Lord's Prayer, which is, Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. So when Jesus taught his disciples to pray, and we are his disciples, so we're included in this, this is what he taught them. That brings us to question 138. That is, are Christians tied to this very form of prayer? The answer is so long, the font needs to be smaller. In other words, are we to pray with these exact words and in this order each time that we pray or we are in sin? And the answer helps us. It says, we are not. Our Lord here delivers to his church a brief summary of those things we are to ask of God. Christ will have us also ask for special things or particular benefits. The form prescribed is nothing else but a set of headings or general categories wherein all benefits, both bodily and spiritual, are implied. But all particulars of prayer must agree and correspond with this general form. We are not tied to this form, as appears from James 1:5, for the apostle exhorts the saints, if anyone lacks wisdom, they should ask of God, who gives to all liberally. Though these words are not in the form of prayer, particularly expressed in the Lord's Prayer, they are implied. Besides, we have examples of prayer both in the Old and New Testament, which are not in the form here expressed, though all they asked was comprehended in this prayer. Therefore, the form of prayer delivered to us by Christ is a thing indifferent. And so the bottom line is this: we're not tied to this format. We don't, every time we pray, we don't need to pray these exact words or in this order. And the reason we are not tied to this form is because there's examples in Scripture of other prayers. And these examples in Scripture do not follow the form of the Lord's Prayer. And we don't conclude that there's a contradiction in Scripture, since it's the holy, infallible, inerrant Word of God, being that it's the Word of God. Rather, we conclude that the Lord's Prayer must be this general guide that gives us the major categories that we are to pray and to keep in line with. And not each time. You know, when I'm in a counseling meeting and something comes up and I have absolutely no idea what to do or say, and Doug's not there for me to ask, I cry out, "Oh Lord, give me wisdom." Not out loud, I say it in my head. And I don't need to, God doesn't say, "Well, I didn't hear that prayer," because you need to start off, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name," and go with that format. Sometimes prayer can be, it can be as simple as, "Oh Lord, help me. Oh Lord, be with me. Oh Lord, give me wisdom." Jesus doesn't say, pray exactly this, but rather pray like this or in this manner. The Catechism brings up James 1:5 as one such example. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. And so that's prayer. Ask God for wisdom. Well, does the Lord's Prayer in the prayer here. Tell us and pray for wisdom. Well, there's no explicit mention of it, yet it is commanded in the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs tells us to call out, to cry out for wisdom. And nevertheless, wisdom is still within the purview of the Lord's Prayer. For when we are asking for wisdom, or we're asking for things like making a decision that is in line with being the best steward of the things we have, providing for our needs, living for the glory of God rather than going astray into temptation. We also see in the book of Psalms examples of prayers. David, in the Spirit, prays for his enemies to be destroyed. Is that in line with the Lord's Prayer? Pray for the enemies to be destroyed. The answer is yes. How is that? Well, when David, who is a type of Christ, the King of God's people, prays for his enemies to be destroyed, it is pointing to Christ's enemies being destroyed. All opposing kingdoms, dominions, everything that rises itself up against our Lord, His authority, and His kingdom. We are asking for those things to come to an end. And that is in line with praying for His kingdom to come. For all enemies to be made a footstool for His feet, for all sin, rebellion, and evil to be brought to an end. It's also for the enemies within the church, for our wills to be subdued more and more to His holy will, living according to His righteousness, setting aside sin, having dominion of sin be more and more set aside, and us be delivered more and more from sin, and for Satan not to have his way in the church. So we do not need to follow the format, the exact words and arrangement of this prayer. We certainly can do that, but to pray according to the subject matter and general categories that the Lord has provided us in this prayer, and the priority that the Lord places on the subjects, is what the Lord would have us to pray. So this prayer shows us the manner in which we are to pray. Now, we're going to go through each petition of this prayer in the weeks ahead, but I want to briefly highlight three things today in preparation for that and as an introduction to the Lord's Prayer. And first, we see the manner in which we are to address God. So first is the address. How are we to address God? And we read the words, "Our Father who is in heaven." And here we see both closeness and reverence, both solace and solemnity. That God is our Father means that He relates to us with closeness and compassion. A good Father, which is what God is, loves, cares for, and has compassion on His children. We don't relate to God as a judge because Christ was judged in our place. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So He's not measuring our obedience, measuring us according to His law. Rather, He has compassion on us. He desires what is best for us. He never cast us out from His house as if we were a criminal or a burglar. But He does discipline us, as a good father would. And yet we also see reverence and solemnity. He is our Father, but He is in heaven. He is exalted, lifted high in His throne. He's the majesty on high. And so we need to approach Him with both of these in mind. You know, I remember a pastor of mine 20 years back. I was going to a broad evangelical church. I don't think I was even converted at that time. The pastor started his prayer with, "Hey, Daddy." And there's something that even back then, that didn't sit well with me. Well, while we do have a closeness with God, that He's our Father, we have bold and confident access to His throne. through Jesus. Yet, Hey Daddy lacks reverence. He's our Father in heaven. He's in heaven. We are on earth. He is not our earthly Father. He is our heavenly Father. And so we need to keep in mind the words of Isaiah 57:15. For thus says the one who is high and lifted up, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, and also with him who is of a contrite and lowly spirit. So this is how we are to address him. But the second thing I would point out is that there are six petitions here in this prayer that calibrate our focus. The first petition is the sanctity of God's name. Hallowed be your name. That is, your name be exalted. Your name be set apart as holy, honored, and revered. We see in this prayer that it both begins and ends with the glory of God. Hallowed be your name, for yours is the kingdom and the glory forever. Prayer is meant to calibrate our thinking and refocus our thinking appropriately. It's not merely a focus on our desires and the channel through which God does our will according to our wisdom, according to our desires. Prayer is not meant to be merely used to change our circumstances, although that is the means through which God does work. But prayer often changes us. If we pray as Jesus taught us here, then we will have our hearts calibrated toward the glory of God. We will have our priorities refocused on God and His glory alone. We will be taught first and foremost that our highest priority is to see God glorified. But the second petition pertains to God's kingdom, the prayers for God's kingdom to come. And as we're going to see when we get to this petition, this is referring to Christ's redemptive kingdom. The kingdom of Christ, which is not of this world, the kingdom of heaven. And so this is a petition for the gospel to spread to all peoples of the earth and for Christ to rule and reign in the hearts of men. And so this ties in with the third petition, which is for God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. But God's will is done through His redeemed people, those who have been rescued from being held captive to do Satan's will, as Paul says in 2 Timothy 2:25. So we are praying for God to be glorified as He continues to redeem a people on earth, and for those who are redeemed to more and more live in accordance with His will alone. Then petitions 4 through 6 address both our physical and spiritual needs. The fourth petition pertains to our physical needs, for our daily bread. That is, for God to provide for the things that are necessary for our life and sustenance physically. And oftentimes we focus on material possessions. I want more material possessions. And then we assume that our daily needs are going to be met. We just, you know, when we need something, we just go to the store, right? No need to worry about that. However, if you remember from the pandemic last year, there was a shortage of toilet paper. I still have no idea why toilet paper. I think people would be more concerned about what goes into their mouth. But why was there, you think about it, we assume that, hey, I just go to the store, I'm going to be able to pick up anything I want. But there was a time where it's like, man, I may really run out of toilet paper. And while we would still survive without it, it may be a bit more inconvenient. I think it was a good lesson in you just always can't assume that the stores are going to be stocked. You know, the reason the stores are stocked is because God sent the rain to cause the grass to grow, for the cattle to eat, for plants to grow. He's given man ability to work. He's given man ability to transport things. He's allowed the electricity to be on, so forth and so on. So everything that we have is provided to us by God through these means. And so we should always give God thanks. We should pray for God to provide daily for us, seeking Him for this in prayer. And petitions 5 through 6 pertain to our spiritual needs. In petition 5, we are to daily pray for forgiveness of sins. And that's implied by petition 4, which give us this day our daily bread. So the implication is we're praying this prayer daily or enlightened with this daily. And so it's a reminder of our ongoing sin and need to daily renew our repentance before God, trusting and being confident that He will forgive and that His abundant mercy is never exhausted. And also because of our remaining sin, we are to pray to not be led into temptation, but to be delivered from evil. So these are the petitions that we'll be looking at. Lastly, a third thing I want to briefly highlight is that this prayer reveals to us that we have a good and benevolent God. We see this by the fact that God commands us to pray in a manner that He will provide both for our physical and spiritual needs. It shows that He cares about these things, so much so that He commands us to pray for these things. This demonstrates that God longs to do us good and to provide for us, again, to the point that He even commands us to ask. You know, it's one thing to ask a favor from a friend. Well, and I hope I'm not overstepping my bounds. I hope I'm not, you know, overextending my welcome. I hope I'm not bothering him by continuing to ask for something. But it's another thing if your friend commands you to ask him for these things. Well, God is commanding us to ask for these things because He is delighted to give them to us and genuinely cares for us and longs to benefit us. If God is not willing to forgive us our sins daily, then why does He command us to ask for that? Why would God command us to ask Him for forgiveness only to reject that prayer? And so we see how good God is, that He is willing to forgive. He is ready to forgive. He says, just ask, I will forgive. And we see the goodness of God in that He asks us to pray for deliverance from temptation and evil. A sign of being under the judgment of God is being handed over to your sin. We see that in a typological sense in the Old Testament, where Israel was handed over to their enemies to be subjugated and ruled by their enemies. And this points to God handing people over to their spiritual enemies of sin, death, and the devil in His wrath. It's in Romans 1 where God says, or where Paul says three times in that section when he's talking about the wrath of God, the judgment of God on all mankind, that God gave them over to their sin. God gave them over to it. That means that someone is under the judgment of God, the wrath of God, when they've been handed over to their sin. And so to be delivered is a sure sign of God's love and grace. And here we see God tell us to pray for this deliverance daily, which means that it's God's desire to deliver us from sin rather than hand us over to our sin. And these blessings come to us because our Lord Jesus was handed over to our enemies of sin, death, and the devil as a sure sign of God's judgment, but standing in our place condemned, taking God's judgment for us, bearing the wrath of God for us. And this is so we would forever be delivered from our spiritual enemies as a sure sign of God's love, mercy, and grace to us. And so this shows that our God is a good and benevolent God. We see in this prayer, and especially we see this at the cross, where Jesus gave Himself up for us, that we would have bold and confident access to our Father in heaven. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do long to see your name hallowed, even though we do not hallow your name as we ought. We long to see your kingdom come. We long for you to deliver us from our remaining sin and enemies, that you would subdue our wills more and more in conformity to your will. We pray that you continue to provide for our needs, O Lord. Thank you for how you have provided this past week. Would you please continue to provide for us? We beg your forgiveness, Lord, for all our sins. They are many, but we thank you that your mercy is more. We ask you would help us to forgive others their sins, that we would forgive from the heart. And we pray, Lord, that you would lead us not into temptation, but you would continue to deliver us from the evil one. We thank you, Lord. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forevermore. And we long for the day where your consummated kingdom is established forever and ever. And all enemies have been made a footstool for Christ's feet. And we will see our Lord face to face. We praise you for such hope. We praise you for your mercy. We praise you for all your goodness to us, O Lord. You are good. Because your love is better than life, O Lord, our lips praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to a message from Trinity Bible Church in Powell, Wyoming. To receive more information about Trinity Bible Church or to support the ministry, go to tbcwyoming.com. That is tbcwyoming.com.